I'm going to be in two different verses this morning. I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6, and then I'm also going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Bless you. Down there when I'm working, I wear headphones or earbuds or something to have something to listen to. And so I work by myself. And so I listen to all, it's hard to find good things to listen to. And it's hard to find something you don't get bored with by listening to it every day, all the day long. There ain't no music hardly worth listening to anymore. So it's hard to find any of that. And so a lot of times I'm listening to some talk show or some kind of podcast of some kind that's that's commentary on politics or different things like that. And boy, that's depressing to listen to that for very long too. So, excuse me. But I've got a thought this morning. It's going to be hard to keep it all put together because I don't have very good notes for it. It's just a thought. But I think it's very important. It's something that's been on my heart for a little while here, especially, and the things that are going on in our country and stuff that's happening politically and in the state of in general, the attitude of not only the world towards God, but even God's so-called people, and their attitude towards current events and God and just the kingdom of heaven. And that's what I want to talk about for just a little bit here this morning is that, I think that we are just really missing it. I think we're way off point here, concerning these things that are happening politically in our country. Ever since I was a little bitty kid, I've always idolized not just the founding fathers, but the people just in general, our ancestors who fought. And it's all part of patriotism and honoring the people from the past who were good people and good men that loved God. But see, that last little part right there is usually gets left off. It's we've set all of these founding fathers up on pedestals as if they created something here that's holy. And the fact of the matter is that they were men just like us that just wanted to do something right. They patterned what they did after what God has commanded in His Word, but they, even their intentions back then, was not to set up a kingdom on this earth. They were trying to provide a free environment where men could pursue the kingdom of God. And that has been completely erased from history, and it's been completely avoided by even our religious culture, really. That's really the truth of the matter. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but at the same time, it's just, we sit and we look at what voices in our church culture are speaking to concerning current events that are happening and the direction this country is headed, and it seems to me that more often than not, all they're really calling for, I really got to be careful how I say this, because I'm not going to stand up here and bash on people. That's not what I'm trying to do up here this morning. But, if we're not careful, we will be inciters of violence. We will be the voice that disquiets and brings discomfort and fear and panic upon people based on our own premonitions of what we think's going on or what we think is being threatened. But, and I know that I know the current situation of things and that it really is, there is a threat. There is a threat to our way of life. But, what kingdom, as a child of God, are we supposed to be pursuing after in the first place? The same thing that's happening now has happened over and over again through history. When Jesus came to this earth, I mean, that's what it's Christmas time. That's what we're celebrating, right? Him being born and what he was coming to do. And we focus so much on the manger and the angels and the shepherds. And, you know, we even sing our cantatas about, you know, him coming, being born to die and all that stuff. But you got to think about the reality of what they were facing in their day. Why do you think Peter had such a hard time getting a hold of this? Because, and why do you think Jesus, from the time he was even a little boy? I mean, their whole these people had studied the Torah and the prophets of old. They'd had that to study all their for centuries and for thousands of years. And they knew what the prophets said about what was coming and the Messiah and how he would be born and that a virgin would... Isaiah talked about it and even him fulfilling the cross and all of that. And yet when they seen him, they were so focused on what was going on in their political culture that they missed him completely. They still have missed him. It took the disciples a long time. Peter... I said that about him, but man, he approached it in a way like he really thought that there was something magical going to happen and that Jesus, right at the seventh hour, was going to overthrow Rome. He really did. And that's why when he seen him fixing to get crucified and die, he just didn't have it in him to go that far. Because his idea about what was going to be going on was political. You know, it wasn't until after he was converted, like Jesus told him, where he said what it says there on our bulletin this morning, that verse. You know, he said, "You, what we have is comes by his blood, not by silver and gold." You know? And I'm afraid that that's what we're doing. We got to be careful to stay focused on what's really... Jesus told them, well, what did John the Baptist say when he came? Before Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was talking about Jesus Christ coming when he came to this earth to fulfill what the cross fulfilled and the resurrection fulfilled. He was talking about that. It was at hand. It's here. There, behold, the Lamb of God. But Jesus told us, when you see these things start to come to pass, lift up your heads. It's at hand again. And I'm telling you right now that we are doing the same thing that the disciples and all those Jewish people did back then, and they're still doing, where we ignore what's going on around us and the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because we're too worried about the government taking our guns away. Do you realize that kingdoms have risen and fallen throughout the millennia of time over and over and over again? Countries have risen and fallen. Governments have risen and fallen. The kingdom of God still marches on. That's the only thing that through the eons of time has not changed. And it remains the same, and the end result is going to be the same no matter what happens in this earth. Now, on that same token, I do believe, thank the Lord above for the men who followed after the principles of the Bible and made a nation where we would have some freedoms, and we do have them. You know, I'm thankful that I can carry my gun. I'm thankful that I can go hunting. Thankful I have the freedom to worship the way we do. I am thankful for those things that we benefit from. We are reaping from seeds we never sowed.
Yes.
Not a one of us in here have ever done anything to create the freedom that we enjoy. And I mean, I say that humbly. If you're a veteran that has went and fought and things like that, or you've had family that have given their life for the freedoms that we enjoy, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people sitting in this room this morning. We all are beneficiaries of the sacrifice of someone else that might have paid the ultimate price to preserve the freedoms that someone sat down a long time ago and laid out in a governmental form so that we could enjoy freedom to do this, what we're doing this morning. But all we hear, all the noise that we hear now is that the people of God need to rise up and we need to make our voice be heard. And we need to, you know, we need to instigate and propagate change in our government and all this stuff. And listen, there were prophets who God put in a position to speak to the king. So I'm not saying that there's no place in government for Christians. But do not think that you're going to push or further the kingdom of heaven down the road one inch by going and being a senator or a representative or anything like that. I'm just saying the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's in your heart, and it will not be established on this earth the way you think government's going to do it until Jesus Christ comes here in that 1,000-year reign and sets up his government on this earth. Until then, our job is not to try and waste our time and resources and efforts on trying to fight with someone to maintain our rights that way. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, okay? It's just not going to do any good for the kingdom of God. In 2 Kings, I want to read this little story. You've probably heard it a dozen times, but I want to read this, and then I'm going to go to 2 Timothy and read there. In verse 8 of chapter 6, 2 Kings, it says, Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Which one of y'all is the mole? Which one of y'all is the traitor? You go in and tell me every way I turn, he knows what I'm doing." And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Ain't nothing hid because of that prophet Elisha. You need to understand that his God is telling him to tell the king of Israel everything that you say in your bedroom in private. You ain't getting away from it. So the king of Syria said, "Okay." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, now listen to this. The Bible says that sinners oppose themselves. They catch themselves in their own snare. And, you know, that's what's running our country. You need to understand that. There's a right and a left that they call it, but you need to understand that they all go to the same bar when it's all over for the day. They all go and drink together. They play golf together. They do their wickedness together. For the most part, they're all on the same. They're the same kind of people. Politics is a sham. This their game is to pull the wool over the eyes of the Americans. That's in the world. They're all wicked. And they oppose themselves and they catch themselves in their own snare. You just need to keep that in mind. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You reckon that they're blind? This government of ours, I mean, this, all them politicians that are up there and all this nonsense going on with the impeachment and all of the lies that are being told and all of the falsehoods and all the money that's getting spent and all of the time that's being wasted, all of the influence that's going on to sway the public that don't have a clue. You reckon they're blind? Yeah, everybody's blind. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So the whole entire army of the Syrians that came down there went blind. God struck them with blindness because Elisha asked him to. And then Elisha went down there and he said, I'll take you to the guy you're looking for. Follow me. And he just led them off to Syria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Syria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. What in the world? And the king of Israel, now listen, keep this in mind. I said that our leaders and all of that government up there are wicked. You need to understand something. The king of Israel here did not know God either. That's why Elisha was there. You need to understand that Israel during this time was in a season of judgment from God for their wickedness. Just like we are. Just like we are. And their king did not know God, just like ours don't. Okay? You need to remember this. You know, he said when he was campaigning that he was going to surround himself with all the right people. That's what the king of Israel did. He had his prophet. He had his army. But he didn't know God. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? The king of Israel said, hot dog, we've been waiting for a situation like this forevermore. We got them. They're like shooting fish in a barrel. Can I kill them? Let me kill them all. And Elisha, this is what he said. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? What in the world's wrong with you, man? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Now, I know that they were being attacked and oppressed by the Syrians, and it was wartime. I mean, the Israelites was in a bad spot. They didn't have very much of a way to defend themselves, but the Lord had delivered the enemy right into their hands. Just like you've been talking about God delivering Saul into David's hands how many times? But how did David respond? How did Elisha tell this king to respond? What is wrong with you, man? These people don't need murdering. You know, you're God's people. Respond the way God would. Feed them. These guys have been fighting a long time too. They're hungry. Every one of them soldiers had a mom and a dad somewhere. They had a family somewhere. Even if they were the enemy. The Bible says the Lord had ordained and used the king of Syria to come in and work his judgment on his wicked people. And even in that context, the Lord had sympathy. Had pity. He had compassion on the enemy. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. The lesson God wanted Israel to learn here was not, if you do what I say, I'll give you the chance to vindicate yourself. No, he said, you need to understand something. I'm good. I'm good to you when you don't deserve it. I've give you the chance over and over again to get right and you won't. I ought to be able to just wipe you out too. But instead, what do? I feed you. I give you to drink. I clothe you. I deliver you out of the hands of your enemies. Look at our nation. What has God done over and over again for us? And we do not deserve it. Matter of fact, the more good he bestows upon us, the more wicked this nation becomes. The more they despise him and hate him, mock him, blaspheme him like Netflix did this week. Blasphemy. And yet he continues to let it rain on the just and the unjust. And we're his people. We're supposed to be his children. And everything he's ever done has made it so that we would understand that the battle is his, not ours. You know? Those men that defied the greatest army, the greatest superpower in the world back in 1776, and fought them all off with squirrel guns, and there wasn't a single one of them guys that knew God. that fought back then who thought they were whooping the British with their squirrel gun. They knew that why do you read George Washington? I don't care what your wicked school books tell you now about what kind of a drunk he was or whatever. Read him. Read some of the stuff he prayed. That man knew God, and he knew the battle was the Lord's, and the only reason why that it was established the way it was is because those men, those few men, it wasn't all of them either. It was a bunch of knotheads from the other colonies that just kind of got the revolution superimposed on them. They had to because everybody else did. There was just a handful of them that feared God and were on their knees the entire time begging God for mercy. And God helped them for that reason. And that's what Elisha was trying to make the king of Israel understand here. Listen, politics, you ain't going to whoop them that way. Your big army, you're not going to whip them that way. Look, I know what it invokes in us when we hear things of like what's going on in Virginia right now. And I'm telling you, you better be watching that because it's the beginning. It's the beginning of real big change in this country. And I'm telling you, look, I listen to this stuff because I want to know what's going on and I want to see it coming. I want to know it. I think we owe it to ourselves to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Remember, he said that too, but you ought to know what's going on. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't live in a bubble and pretend like everything is like it was back in the 50s, because it's not. You know, this country is different now. The leadership in this country is different now. The sentiment of this nation and the new ones coming along that are going to be running things real shortly is different now. The tide has turned. You're not bringing it back. The wheel is turning just like it has all through history and time. And our duty as God's children are to be about His business, just like Jesus was. He was 12 years old and they lost Him, and then they found Him, and what in the world? What are you doing? What are you thinking? He said, don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? And we are too. That's what we're supposed to be doing too. Look, I carry a gun. I'm aware of what's going on in our country. I do desire to preserve the freedom that we have to defend ourselves or to protect ourselves against them. I understand that. But listen, in the grand scheme of things, the earth withereth, or what does it say? The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away. And this country is going to do the same thing. Our freedoms are going to do the same thing. And you need to understand, His word is the only thing that's going to abide forever. And the older I get and the more I watch what's going on, the more listen. And I mean this sincerely. There was a time where I wanted to be a militia man. I had that spirit of revolution in my heart about taking our country back over for righteousness' sake. But right and righteousness are two different things. And don't conflate the two. If that was the case, if that was really the way it was, there's a whole lot of wicked men out there that are righteous, and it's not that way. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the ones He's coming back for are the ones who sigh and cry, not the ones who are out here trying to get the majority in the house. It's all going to fade away. When His kingdom is set up on this earth, you think there's going to be Republicans and Democrats? Think there's going to be a Constitution of the United States of America? No. But you know what's still going to be there? It's right here. God's Word. And His kingdom. And it's what He wanted. He talked about it all the time when He was here. He preached about it so much. The kingdom of heaven is likened to this. It's likened to that. Understand this. And get it. Over in 2 Timothy, I'm just going to turn over there and read that. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. We'll start there, and that's a real common verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's as far as anybody ever memorizes it. Because that lets you do just like what these political debaters do now. There's the right and there's the left. And you decide which one you think is right, and then you learn everything you can about it so you can debate with someone. So at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, you can make them feel stupid for believing what they believe. And they're doing the same thing to you. And so many people do this with God's word in the kingdom of heaven. That's as deep as most people's religion goes. Before I was saved, I was raised in church forever. And my knowledge of the Bible, I used it that way. I loved to talk to people about, try to debate with them about some certain hot button topics in the Bible, because the knowledge I had of what the Bible said about it, at the end of it, it was me trying to make them feel stupid for believing a lie. And all it did was exalt me and puff me up. It didn't glorify God or advance the kingdom of heaven at all. It was a blight on it. That's what it was. It give occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. And so it says that, study to show thyself approved unto God. But what does it say next? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. See, they were doing more damage with what they thought that they were right in than they were doing anything else. They were literally destroying the faith of some people. You know? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. How does he know? Because they're fighting for his kingdom. They're not fighting for this earth and this world's kingdoms. Man's kingdoms he tries to set up and prop up with his ideologies and his convictions. That's not what they're fighting for. They're fighting for the kingdom of heaven. That's how he knows. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, now listen to this, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these what? Iniquity. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow, and this is what you do. This is what somebody that is pursuing after the kingdom of heaven, this is what you do. You follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. All this stuff that you hear on the news, all this stuff about, you know, listen, what we need to understand is that we are in the same boat as Israel was back there in Kings. We have strayed so far from righteousness that God is sending his judgment upon this country. The thing that's going on in Virginia right now, you know, this is the first time in 26 years that the Democrats have everything. They have the majority in both sides of the everything. And now they're going to, they're really pushing their agenda now. They can now. First time in 26 years. But, you know, look, I lived over there. I know it ain't no different than anywhere else. But, man, I'm going to tell you what. They have embraced wickedness for a long time in that state. And, you know, now the judgment of God's coming. It's coming. He uses government to exact chastisement upon a nation. That's really what he uses government for. It's the only use he really ever has had for government. It's his sword. That's right. And right. Yeah. And here's the deal. They're, you know, the judgment of God is starting to fall. And that's how, it's gonna be. As God's people, we need to realize this. If you go out here the first time, I mean, look, What did Jesus tell Peter in the garden? Because he was still swinging a sword, trying to cut that man's head off that was trying to take Jesus captive. Because look, that had to be fulfilled in order for the cross and Calvary and the resurrection. It had to happen. Why do you think he prayed for so long in the garden and sweated the great drops of blood and asked his Father, please, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then they went out there, and here come that band of men. You know the story. And Peter drew his sword, and he cut the ear off that man. And Jesus turned around and looked at him, and he said, put your sword away, Peter. It's not what we're here to do. It's not how this is going to be won. You know, he was preventing what had to happen in order for God's will to be fulfilled. We need to be careful about how the position that we take, the time that we spend, the resources we exhaust, the effort that we expend upon what we would consider to be preserving what we have, and realize that what we've had in the past is gone. And God is going to have to do some things in this nation and to his people in his church before he can come back. You know, if you're doing right, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You know, think you're the first person that's ever been a follower of Christ that's seen the government come in and undo everything that they've enjoyed? No. And it's going to happen here too. Be sure you're on the right side of things. I listen to this stuff and sometimes I catch myself thinking, boy, we better be laying back. We better be figuring it out. And listen, the battle is the Lord's. I'm not saying you shouldn't stand up and protect your family and do what God says a God-fearing man ought to do for his family. But listen, read on down through here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, who is that? Well, it's these people that are fighting for the wrong kingdom, man. The ones we were talking about earlier. The king of Israel, back there in Kings. You know, Elisha could have really lowered the boom on the king, but he did not. He dealt with him just like Timothy's talking about right here. And he let him learn the lesson God wanted him to learn. He was apt to teach someone who opposed themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We ain't supposed to be out here rebel-rousing people to get their guns and go attack someplace. Don't do nothing for the kingdom of heaven. You know, I've talked about this certain person that I know that has come into our lives. And I don't ever speak to him about politics, because he made it real clear as soon as we met where he stood on that. And so I don't ever talk to him about it. Could I? Oh, the opportunity provides itself so very frequently, you don't even know. But what it's allowed me to do, you remember I've said this before, maybe from up here, but back when the last election happened, I always liked to debate politics with people or whatever, and I just felt very compelled by God to just shut up and just keep my mouth shut about it this time and not get involved in it. And it made me step back away from it and look at it from a higher perspective and see all the sides of it instead of the few little buzz phrases that I was focusing on so much. And it gave me a better understanding of just where our king stands, so to speak. And that's what it's done with me with my friend I'm talking about. You know, I see his need for God way more than I see his need to be changed his mind about politics. Here's the deal. Politics ain't never made somebody come to the understanding and knowledge of the truth of God and see their need for him and their need of salvation. Now, No, you don't need politics to convince somebody of the goodness of God. Don't work that way. All you're going to do is gender strife, like it said back there in verse 23. Foolish and unlearned questions. It says avoid them. And I have been able to develop a relationship with this person where I honestly do feel and believe that he knows that we love him. And that is something that never would have been accomplished fighting over the fence about politics. Okay? And that's really what I'm trying to talk about here this morning. My King is Jesus Christ. And his kingdom is where I'm going to spend eternity in. So why would I waste my short little brief life on this earth fighting for man's kingdom? And waste all my time fighting with people who oppose themselves, who need him, fighting over a wicked king and a wicked government? We do err if we do that. We shouldn't waste our time and waste so much of our effort and mental, our mental time and our mental strength focusing so much on politics. It ain't going to amount to a hill of beans at all. There's one preacher says it ain't going to amount to a pinto bean with a wormhole in both ends. And it's not. Grandpa says it before, you know, in 100 years it ain't going to matter at all. Well, it ain't. You know? You want to know what was going on 100 years ago politically in this country? Something totally different. That does not have any, it don't bear any weight right now on what's going on now. It's just a revolving door that just, you just keep running through the mill. And the biggest game that they play is to make you think that what you believe about politics and what you do right now in your little life is going to make a difference forever. And if you can just pass that on to your kids, they'll do the same thing. And the politicians just keep getting more and more wicked and more corrupt. And it's just, you need to understand, that's why kingdoms rise and fall on this earth. That's why God's kingdom ain't like that. Because it doesn't have that involved, that element in it. And I just have decided that I'm going to just spend more of my time, you know, coming up here in this new year. 2020 is going to be a different kind of year. It's going to be a different kind of situation. We're going to see some big changes happen in 2020. And you need to determine in your heart as a child of God that, I tell you what I'm doing. I am going to spend my life for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. Only one life. What's the old saying? Will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is what's going to last. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen.